Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through, and we continue with a relevant study of the Book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenalia Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Donation in part 19 of Understanding the Times.
When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. That's the smoke now. Then it says, the sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. So he changed the appearance of the sun and the sky. I've got some beautiful photographs where a object on the horizon is captured in the photo. But you can't tell whether it's the sun or whether it's the moon. All you see is the shining ball. Now, if the smoke wasn't there, the reason why it was disguised is because of the late afternoon forest fires and smog. So it's smoke that is there. If it was the sun and there was no smoke, it would be very bright and you would be very clear. Nobody would be able to tell you this is the moon. You would know this is the sun. Undoubtedly, this is the sun. But because the smoke is there, you don't know, is this the sun or is it the moon? If the smoke wasn't there and it was the moon, if people ask you, what is that? You would say, it's the moon. It would be very clear. But now you can't tell. And if I show you the photograph, you would say, wow, this is hard to say. I can't tell. Is it the sun or is it the moon? So you become very unsure and unclear about what it is that you actually have here. That's the smoke. It changes the appearance of things. Let's use the biblical example. There's Eve walking around in this wonderful garden. She can see everything clearly. One of the things that she can see very clearly is that this fruit here is poisonous. If you eat of this fruit, you'll die. Clear. Even when the serpent challenged her on that, she said, no, God said we can eat of any tree except the tree that's in the middle of the garden. We can't eat of it or even touch it. If we do, we'll die. There's no guessing, there's no sort of, I'm not too sure now. It's solid, it's very clear, there's no smoke. And then the abyss is opened. The same power that opened the abyss here opened it in the Garden of Eden. The door was unlocked, out came the smoke. No, auntie, you got it wrong. You will not die. God only said that because he knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You know, there it comes like a song, maybe it's hip-hop music, I'm not sure, but it's getting into the head and it's clouding the brain. And suddenly when you look at the same fruit now again, Genesis 3 verse 6, the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, really, and desirable for gaining wisdom. Is that right? What happened? 1 minute, this is poison. The next minute, it's good for food. How did this happen? How did you become so unclear? How are you so confused? You see, that's the smoke. And the smoke doesn't have to be visible smoke. It's a mesmerizing influence that seduces the brain, affects the mind, and you lose your sense of perspective. You lose your sense of direction. So there's a biblical example. I've shown you a practical example. And then we read here, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. That's piling into the multiple car smash inside the smoke. You just don't know what's inside there. You get hit by it, and when you wake up again, you say, what happened? It was just a bit of smoke. The smoke is not of no consequence. It's not harmless. It's dangerous for two reasons.
Very scary.
Absolutely.
It's very scary in our day and age with a lot of smoke.
Too much.
Literal filters that too they're much. Putting on the picture.
One would have thought that the church would have read the book of Revelation and would be equipped and would be aware. And this was the purpose why this book was written. It was given to the church to help them to understand what you will find in the secular world system. But it looks as if the church is almost first in line as far as the smoke is concerned. They are the ones who are deceived. They are the ones who have lost their direction. They are the ones who, living in the stupor, almost in a fool's paradise, not waking up to the hardcore reality of what we are facing.
So we read in Revelation chapter 20 about a 1,000-year period that Jesus will reign on earth with the resurrected saints. Now, there's a lot of debate about those 1,000 years and about the fact that Jesus will reign on earth. Some people believe he is already reigning on earth now before he comes physically. Some people believe he will first come physically and then he will reign on earth. Can you shed some light on that, especially regarding to the number, 1,000 years? And then also, how will he reign on earth?
No, gladly. We did touch on it a little bit before, but I think maybe one can spell it out a bit more clearly. We have to start off by saying that the book of Revelation is composed of 7 scenes. These 7 scenes run concurrently. They don't run sequentially. In other words, when you come to the end of the first scene, the next scene isn't a continuation chronologically on the previous scene. In chapter 3, the end of chapter 3, you come to the conclusion of the first scene. So when you start with chapter 4, chapter 4 isn't a follow-up on chapter 3. So you can't just cross from chapter 3 to chapter 4 chronologically and say that's the next period that is unfolding here. When you come to chapter 4, you've got to stop. You've got to rewind, and chapter 4 verse 1 is equivalent to chapter 1 verse 1. So you have to go all the way back, and now from chapter 4 to chapter 8, the beginning of chapter 8, the end of chapter 7, you have the second scene. So that second scene, chapter 4 to chapter 7, you have to superimpose on top of chapter 1 to chapter 3, because it's happening at the same time. So let's say chapter 1 to chapter 3 is the full period of salvation history, from the first coming of Christ to his second coming. When you come to the next scene, chapter 4 to chapter 7, then you are dealing with exactly the same period of salvation history from the first coming of Christ to his second coming. When you come to chapter 20 to chapter 22, you are now having to superimpose this on chapter 1 to chapter 3, and chapter 4 to chapter 7, and chapter 8 to chapter 11. So all of these scenes run like the train tracks. The two tracks of a train, they run parallel. Now imagine you had some kind of a vessel that would be traveling on 7 tracks. Those 7 tracks are located right next to each other. They span the same space. So when that object moves over those 7 tracks, it's moving over those 7 tracks simultaneously. So the 7th track doesn't follow on the 6th track as if it's in front of it, still having to get there. So that vehicle is running simultaneously over all 7 tracks. It's a technique called parallelism. So chapter 20 to chapter 22 runs, as far as time is concerned, parallel to chapter 1 and chapter 3, chapter 4 to chapter 7. So, bearing that now in mind, that we are not looking at chapter 20 as if it is at the end of time. It's running at the same time as the rest of the salvation history. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So he bound him for 1,000 years, and this was the angel that came out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. Now verse 3 says, he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that he must be set free for a short time. These are all very important elements that appear here. Now, we had just read about the abyss in chapter 9. There we read in verse 1, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. That's interesting. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. Now here the abyss is opened. In chapter 20, the abyss was locked. So this star that was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, he has a name. Verse 11 of chapter 9, we are told, they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, which is destruction. And in Greek, Apollyon, which is destroyer. So, in chapter 20, he's given a name. If we just go back to chapter 20. I saw an angel coming out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan. He's given so many names. Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. But in chapter 9, he's called Abaddon and Apollyon. So he's got many faces, many names. In chapter 9, he's unleashed. He's let out of the abyss. Here, we read that he's being put into the abyss. He's bound in the abyss. So this obviously refers to an event prior to chapter 9. This is when he was locked up in the abyss. Chapter 9, he is released from the abyss, and then certain things happen. So, we read in verse 3 of chapter 20, he threw him into the abyss, locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. He must be set free for a short time. John says, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen. He was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. The abyss was opened, and this came out of it. So he must be set free for a short time. So this verse, or this phrase, after that, he must be set free for a short time, refers to chapter 9, where the abyss is opened. So after the abyss is opened in chapter 9, we have the short time where Abaddon, Apollyon, the serpent, the angel of the abyss, the dragon, the devil, or Satan would go out and deceive the nations of the world. Now, when is this where he must be set free for a short time? This is after the 1,000 years. So in chapter 9 then, before the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, all the time that unfolded would be the 1,000 years. Because, look, let's go through it again. Verse 1 of chapter 20, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. So what did he do now? He had this chain, he had a key. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So that being bound for 1,000 years must have taken place before the events of chapter 9.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 19 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation. Send us any questions you have about the Book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of this program. Stay tuned for part 20, same time tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statement, and more at gncr.org.za.